Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. In the show last week, we were going over the pyramid for savings. The first stage was that you had $1,000 all the time in your savings account as a safety net. And then stage two is to take the savings money, the 20% of your net paycheck each month, and focus on paying off your debt, which Professor Warren calls the steal from tomorrow debt. While you are in stage two of the savings plan, take all of the 20% and put it toward paying off the debt following the personal debt repayment plan you created in previous shows. Don't worry about saving for any other purpose, and don't worry about how long it will take you to get out of debt. The point is that one day you will get rid of the debt stealing from tomorrow. Once your debt is paid off, you'll have laid the groundwork on which you can start building your lifetime savings plan. And once you've paid off all of that debt that is stealing from your ability to build tomorrow, you'll be finished with stage two and you'll start on stage three, where the heavy-duty saving begins. Probably before I go on to stage three, we should just do a quick overview of the lifetime saving plan. The first stage was to save that $1,000. Second stage, as we just went over, is to pay off the debt. And this is all with the 20% that is allocated on each paycheck for savings. The third stage, in short, is to build a six-month security fund. And then the fourth stage is to build a lifetime wealth creation plan, which has savings for retirement as the first part, paying off your home if you have one as the second part, and saving for your other dreams as your third part. So that's an overall picture of the pyramid. Now, stage three, getting more specific, you're creating your security fund. This, in a sense, is a sleep tight fund. By the time you reach stage three, you have a $1,000 cushion in the bank and you have paid off all of your debt, which, as we discussed in previous shows, is possible if you follow the plan. Your wants spending is under control and your must-haves are in balance. You're probably feeling pretty good if you've accomplished this. But many people do worry about the future. Sure, things are fine, but what if you lose your job? What if the foundation on the house cracks? What if something big comes up? That's why the point is to create a security fund. When your debt is finally paid off, it is time to start putting all your 20% into an ordinary savings account that will grow into your security fund. This will be your personal defense fund in case something really goes wrong. You have total control of it, and it is nothing more than a simple savings account. That's right in this plan. It's an ordinary savings account. No fancy investments, no special tax breaks, and it should be easy to reach. However, it shouldn't be too easy. Keep it separate from your regular checking account so you won't be tempted to dip into your security fund for regular expenses. And don't get an ATM card or a debit card for the account. The rule here is basically hands off, except in times of real need. Set up your account so that you have to make a special trip to the bank to get your hands on this money. Why? Because this is the money that will let you sleep easily each and every night. This is the money you can call on whenever you need it. It is there if you get sick. It is there if you lose your job. It is there if the car conks out or if the roof caves in. Your security fund will stand as the shield between you and whatever life throws at you. Then what if you need to spend it? If an emergency comes along, then use this money. If you take a serious blow and can't make ends meet, then you can turn to this account. That's what it is there for. But just as soon as the crisis has passed, you need to start building it up again. This is the cushion you create for all your life, the backstop that is always there for you. Then the next question is, how much should you put in your security fund? The general rule of thumb is put enough in your security fund to cover your must-haves for 6 months. Again, remember, must-haves are 50% of your after-tax income. So you just figure this out by basically taking your total must-have expenses, multiplying by 6, meaning 6 months, and that's your security fund target. And you build this by $1 at a time. During this stage, which is stage 3 of your lifetime savings plan, take your 20% and just put it in a money market or savings account. If you're starting from scratch, it should take you just over a year to finish out your security fund. That may sound like a long time, but think of it this way. You are changing your life. Real lasting change takes a little time. In a little more than a year, you will be in a totally different place. You will have moved past the vast majority of Americans. Instead of feeling like your financial future is stalled, you will be able to see a tremendous accomplishment, a hefty bank balance in your name. This will become the strong foundation on which you can build your future and your dreams. And we'll move on to stage 4 after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now we move on to stage 4 of the wealth creation plan. This is the last step as you execute your plans and begin your new financial life. It is a little like building a rocket to go to the moon. After all the designing, planning, coordinating, and building, the moment is here. The rocket is finally on the launching pad. The hardest work is finished, and your trip is about to begin. All you have to do is hit the launch button. This is when you start building the kind of real wealth that goes beyond keeping you safe. This is the wealth that can make your dreams become a reality. Once you've created your security fund, you'll be ready to move into stage four. This is the stage you'll stay in for the rest of your working life. Because stage four lasts for so long, it has more than one piece. The first piece is your retirement fund. The second piece is paying off your house if you have one. And the third piece, as I said, is saving for your other dreams. Just those three pieces, and you have the formula for building wealth, securing your future, and making your dreams a reality. So that's where the future begins. It's time to start building the life you deserve. The future starts here. Now let's break this down into the pieces. Creating a retirement fund. It's time to start saving for your golden years. The money you set aside now can mean so much down the line. It can mean travel, a vacation home, helping out the kids, making the big contribution to your church, whatever it is that will make you happy. Now's the time to start making that possible. But saving for retirement? We've all heard that before. Retirement looks so far away, and there are so many things you need now. And you like your job so much that you never want to retire. And you plan to strike it rich somehow, and there's no need to save for old age. And if you never ever think about retirement, you'll stay young forever. And if you kiss a frog, it will turn into a prince. Yeah. You know that you need to save for retirement, but the reality isn't as tough as you might think. In fact, there is some good news. The government gives out a pile of tax breaks to help you save for retirement. Your employer wants to help you save for retirement often, and you have years and years for your retirement account to grow, which means that a little savings goes a long way. In other words, this is really easy. You just need to do it. And you may be wondering what all the fuss is about. So just in case you're not persuaded that saving for retirement is all that important, here are a few scary statistics to remind you that the future is coming, ready or not. 1 in 8 older Americans live in poverty. The average Social Security payment is about $10,000 a year. Not even enough to live in safety in many places, let alone comfort. The elderly are now the fastest growing group in bankruptcy. And the people who study this stuff think it's going to get even worse. Economists now predict that today's workers will be a whopping $45 billion short of what they will need to live on when they retire. And that number is growing from year to year. So that's the scary stuff. We dealt with that. But think about the happier side of retirement, what life can be like if you're financially prepared. Maybe you have something luxurious in mind, like plenty of money for travel or a villa nestled in the hills. Maybe you want to spend your golden years on the golf course or strolling along the beach, or maybe your goals are more modest. Just to pay for a house and plenty of time with the grandkids. No matter what the details, all your worth will help you create a retirement fund that enables you to accomplish the most important objective. When the time comes, you can retire in comfort and dignity. This means having money to cover your basic needs, money for your care, money to let you pay your own way. It also means that there will be no need to call on the charity of others and no need to continue working longer than you are physically able. And with a little luck, it means having money for your dreams, however you dream them. There are 5 myths about retirement savings that I'd like to go over. Myth number 1, you can count on Social Security to see you through old age. As we all know now, the fact is Social Security benefits are not enough to live on. Myth number 2 is you don't need to save for retirement if you plan to keep on working. The fact is you need to be prepared in case you're not able to keep on working. The 3rd myth is you can wait to start saving until the kids are grown. The fact is the earlier you start, the bigger your rewards will be. The fourth myth is if you keep working and don't retire, your retirement savings will be wasted. The fact is, the money is yours, no matter what. If you don't need it for retirement, you can pass it on to your kids, use it for an emergency, or buy something nice with it. And the last myth is, if you don't think about getting old, you'll stay young forever. And the fact is, you wish. Entire books have been written on retirement planning, so if you want to learn more, there is plenty of information out there. AARP is a very good place to start. But if you'd rather get your teeth drilled than spend the afternoon reading up on retirement planning, it's been boiled down to a couple of smart, easy moves. Remember, these are easy moves, so there's no excuse for not doing them. One move is sign up for your retirement plan at work. If your company offers a retirement plan, belly up to the bar and sign on the dotted line. Your boss has already done the work, and it's hard work, by getting the plan set up, so it is really easy for you to get started. Just fill out the paperwork and you'll have money taken out of your paycheck each and every month. You'll get automatic tax breaks for every dollar you put in, so the government gives you an immediate boost. And your company may give you matching contributions, which really is free money lying on the ground. Reach over and pick it up. Another move is create your own retirement plan. If your boss doesn't offer a retirement plan, open an IRA, an individual retirement account, on your own. If you are self-employed or if you run a small business, open a SEP IRA or an individual 401k, which offer higher limits and extra tax breaks to small business owners. IRAs are easy to set up. You can open one through your local bank or through an online financial institution. Look for an IRA that has low fees and plenty of investment options. Once you've opened your account, just start contributing. The government will help you fund your IRA by chopping down your taxes, so take advantage of it. It's better than walking around with a bucket when it's raining money. Well, how much should you put in your retirement account? According to the All Your Worth plan, roughly half of your 20%. That is, in the neighborhood of 10% of your take-home pay. Remember, of course, this is once you're in stage 4. Don't worry about saving for retirement until after you've paid off your credit card balances and other debt and built your security fund. If your employer contributes to a pension, you can put in less than 10%. If you are over 35 and you are just now getting started on saving for retirement, you should put in more. That will give you a good footing for comfortable retirement, while still leaving plenty left over for your other dreams. Once you have put some money in your retirement fund, sit back for a minute and congratulate yourself. Nearly half of all Americans never make it this far. If you have a retirement account and you are putting money in it, then you have just made it to the upper half, financially speaking, of all adults in the U.S. Congratulations. And I'll return to this after a station break. This is Iowa Bankruptcy Attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now, the second part of the fourth stage is to pay off your home. Imagine a home of your own, not just a house that you live in, not just a place that you pay a mortgage on, a home that is all yours. No mortgage payments, no rent checks, a home that is completely 100% paid for, free and clear. Professor Warren gives a story about a man named Stephen Acosta who broke his back in a motorcycle accident. He was lucky to regain the use of his arms and legs, but his days climbing around on construction sites as a licensed electrician were over. Between the medical bills and the lost income, he was pretty much wiped out. He was just out of rehab when his house was posted for foreclosure. He said, "I limped around and around, just staring at the place. The hedge I put out front, the extra shelves I built in the closets." Even now, Stephen's voice cracks when he talks about how it felt. "It was mine, and someone was fixing to take it. No way could I just lay down for that." Stephen got a repair job in an electronics shop and then took a second job working weekends as a security guard in a downtown office building. He cut his want spending to the bone, and pretty soon he was caught up on the mortgage. He said, "I kept picturing that orange sign on my front door saying someone else was going to take my house. And every time I thought about it, I got mad all over again. And I sent another $100 to the damn mortgage company. I figured they could take my whole paycheck, but I'd never let them take my home." Not too long ago, Stephen threw a big party at his small ranch house in the outskirts of St. Louis. He invited all his friends, and his mom drove from Tulsa. After everyone arrived, he thumped his fist on the table, telling them to be quiet because he had an announcement. He directed everyone's attention to a big green bowl with some papers in it. Stephen explained that this was his mortgage, all paid off. He had gotten it back from the bank, and now he wanted everyone he loved to witness while he burned it. "Everyone cheered while I fired it up," he said. "Then my mom cried, and I even choked up a little. Darn it, I pulled myself out, and now this place was mine forever, no matter what." Paying off your home is the double whammy of the savings world, a tremendously smart financial move that is also tremendously satisfying. After all, where else can you build substantial wealth and smile over your flower bed? The most obvious reason to pay off your home is that you get a great return on your money. Suppose you're paying 7% on your mortgage. Every dollar you pay in your mortgage earns 7%, guaranteed, no matter what. That is a lot more than you can earn in just about any other no-risk guaranteed investment. Plus, unlike the interest you earn on your savings account, you don't have to pay taxes on that 7%. Paying off your home is also a great part of your retirement plan. When it comes time to stop working, you can live rent-free, which means that your Social Security and retirement savings will go a lot further. If you need a lot of cash, you can sell your house and move to something smaller. And if you stay in your home until your last days, the house will be a wonderful legacy to pass along to your children or to your favorite charity. Paying off your home also does something many financial planners neglect to mention. It gives you freedom. Once that mortgage is gone, just imagine all the freedom in your wallet. Freedom to spend more money on fun, freedom to give more to the people you love, freedom to work a little less and pay a little more. Think of this as yet another form of sleep tight insurance. Some people may think that the mortgage interest tax credit is a good reason not to pay off the mortgage. Well, a tax credit is no reason to prolong your mortgage payments. Think of it this way. If you were a professional gambler, your gambling losses would be tax deductible. But does that mean a gambler wants to lose money? Not really. But we could just consider the math. Let's say you're paying $1,000 a month, out of which $700 goes to interest and $300 goes to principal at this point. You would save somewhere around $200 on your taxes. So you want to keep paying $1,000 to the bank so you can save $200? Of course not. Math like that will drive you to the poorhouse in a hurry. The problem with tax credits is that they are like paper towels. You have to spill your own milk, make the payment, before the tax credit helps you sop up some of it. So that's no reason. But what if you plan to sell your house? If you sell your house, you walk away with the equity, and the equity increases for every dollar you pay down on the mortgage. When you sell the house, the cash is yours, whether you plow it into another home or just shove it in your pocket. And another point is, doesn't it make sense to borrow against your home when interest rates are low? Whether you are borrowing to pay down your credit card debt, play the stock market, or travel to Tahiti, borrowing against your home is still borrowing, period. It is not saving, it is not smart, it is not savvy. A second mortgage or a home equity line of credit is plain old stealing from tomorrow. It's debt, only with the added twist that if something goes wrong and you can't pay the mortgage, the lender can take your house away. So just pay down your mortgage and bask in the knowledge that one day you'll be completely, contentedly debt-free. But there's also the situation where you don't own your home. Should you rush right out and buy one? Should you decide your future is hopelessly lost forever and crawl into your apartment bathtub and pull a mattress over your head? No to both of those questions. If you don't own a home, it may make sense to buy, or it may not. If you are trying to decide whether home ownership is right for you, we will discuss that later on in another area called the Big Buy. Buying a home is not the right choice for some people, and renting is perfectly fine on one condition. Renters still need to keep saving. Keep on putting that 20% into retirement and other savings, which we will discuss, and you can be just as secure as your home-owning neighbors. If a home doesn't make sense for you and you are saving 20%, you'll do just fine. In fact, you will do better than fine. You will be building toward a lifetime of riches. So how do you pay off your home? Again, it's $1 at a time. Take about 5% of your income, which is 1/4 of your 20% for savings, and use it to pay extra on your mortgage every month. The amount outstanding on your mortgage is an awfully big number, so you may think that paying a couple hundred dollars extra every month is like trying to bail out the ocean with a teaspoon. But you may be surprised just how far that little extra can go. Suppose you have a mortgage for $150,000 at 7%. Now suppose you make $50,000 a year and your income increases a little year after year. Even jobs where the income is pretty steady usually get at least a cost of living raise, so the paycheck keeps up with inflation, at least hopefully. If you keep putting an extra 5% of your paycheck toward your mortgage, you could be mortgage-free in 15 years or even faster, and you could save more than $100,000 in interest. Now that's a smart move. And the third area is saving for your other dreams. You're paying off your home and you're saving for your golden years. Your money worries are disappearing like yesterday's rainstorm, so what now? It's time to make your other dreams come true. Your dreams can be as heartwarming, as daring, or as goofy as you want them to be. Do you dream of a vacation house by the lake where you can fish for trout and watch birds? Do you long to remodel the kitchen and maybe install a swimming pool in the backyard? Do you dream of the day when you can make a generous donation to your church or synagogue or help out your favorite charity? Or maybe your dreams are for your kids, medical school for a child, lavish weddings for your daughter. Well, just take a moment to savor your dream, and we will continue with more of an expansion on how to do this in the next show. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.